While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered them, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all of this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." It is by perseverance that we will secure our lives. We need to pray regularly for the grace of final perseverance, that grace to see Jesus face to face and to be in a state of friendship with God. In the book, God Alone, which is a collective writings of St. Louis de Montfort, I highly recommend that you buy this book. There is a section called Dispositions for a Happy Death. And the very first thing that St. Louis de Montfort recommends is that we think of death frequently. I encourage you that whenever you see somebody that you think is frail or old, tell yourself, "That guy's me." When you see that somebody has died, tell yourself, "That's going to be me." Go to funerals, go to hospitals, visit people who are dying and remind yourself, "That person is going to be me." Life is fleeting. Many of the saints would carry skulls around to remind them that they were going to die. Now, this is not to be morbid. The purpose is because our sinful inclination is to think that we are going to live forever and that all of the things that we accumulate and all of these things that are superficial that we work for, that's not going to last. And so we just have to be reminded of that so we can see clearly. I'm not trying to get you to walk around all depressed and sad. I want you to be able to deal with death now. So if I've accepted the fact I'm going to die and I can die at any moment, that means I have to be ready to die at any moment. And that means if I'm not living in the state of grace, I need to get in the state of grace. So I encourage you, I'm going to give you a couple of habits, many of them taken from here, given my own little twist and spin. If you want to know exactly what St. Louis de Montfort thought about this, you can pick up his book. So first and foremost, never commit a mortal sin. Never be in the state of mortal sin. If you, for some reason, God forbid, commit a mortal sin, immediately, the very first moment that you have, get on your knees, confess directly to God, make a good act of contrition, make a good penance, give yourself a penance, pray a rosary, chaplet of divine mercy, do something very holy, and resign your will to the will of God. And then, very importantly, resolve to go to confession as soon as possible. Tip number one, never commit mortal sin. If you commit a mortal sin, confess, go to confession as soon as possible. I encourage you to go to confession frequently. It often happens that people don't just stumble into mortal sin randomly. They just commit a grave act out of nowhere. It happens sometimes, I suppose. But usually, there are little venial sins that get worse and worse and worse, and they lead you down the path to mortal sin. That's why I encourage people to go to confession frequently to cut that off, and you're always in the state of grace. And not only that, but going to confession opens you up to receiving a plenary indulgence. What is a plenary indulgence? It's the remission of the temporal punishment that we deserve, temporary punishment, for sins that have already been forgiven. So when I go to confession, I have had my sins forgiven. Now I can get rid of the temporary punishment if I get a partial, or in this case, which I'm encouraging you to get, a plenary indulgence. You can get a plenary indulgence by going to confession. Then my second tip, go to communion as often as possible. Maybe you can't go every day. If you can't go every day, make a spiritual communion. Ask Jesus for those graces. It doesn't take very long to make a spiritual communion. Spiritual communion does not count for plenary indulgence. And then there's some other act that must be done. I encourage you to make that other act the praying of the rosary, at least 5 decades of the rosary, every single day. So again, I'm getting a plenary indulgence. I'm having all my mortal sins removed. I'm praying the rosary every single day. What is the rosary? I will always repeat this. At the end of the rosary, at the end of the Hail Mary, you're saying, Blessed Mother, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. You've heard me say it before, and God willing, you'll hear me say it again. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. All of the Hail Marys, whether you're praying one rosary and you're just getting the 50 Hail Marys from the 5 decades, or you're getting in 20 decades, so that's 200 Hail Marys, it's going to add up now and at the hour of my death. Those graces are going to be very important when you're about to meet the Lord. So gets plenary indulgence every day. God willing, at the hour of your death, the day of your death, you get another plenary indulgence. Under ordinary circumstances, you can only get one per day, but on the day that you die, you're open to getting two. So this is all just in preparation. You're living in the state of grace. You're receiving Holy Communion frequently. You're praying your rosary every day. If you're living like that, that's how you're going to be ready right now. I say often, if you're not ready now, what makes you think you'll be ready then? If you're living this way now, God willing, you'll be living that way in the future. Now, this is just to be ready because we could die at any moment. If we have proximate knowledge that we are about to die, that changes everything. If we are blessed to be able to die in a hospital slowly, we got a week, we got a couple days, it's important that we make preparations. What do I mean by that? God willing, you got married to a holy person. God willing, you have a holy wife, or at the very least, your children are faithful, or some relative who really loves you is faithful to the Catholic faith, who can be there with you at those most important moments to make sure that your soul is being watched after. So what kind of preparations should you be making? Make it clear in writing or to whoever it is that you're going to ask to watch over you in case of an emergency as frequently as possible. Probably pick 2 people so that the burden's not all on 1 person, 2 or even 3, but leave them good instructions. What do I mean good instructions? Make it clear that a priest is contacted so that you can receive your last sacraments. In addition to that, you do not want the television on in the hospital room under any circumstances whatsoever. Why? Because the television is a distraction. You don't need to be learning about the celebrities and all of their scandals and all of what's going on in politics and the government while you're here trying to die a happy and holy death. So that's one good reason why you need to have instructions. You want to have instructions that they put holy pictures in your room, that they bring you holy water that's been exercised and blessed properly, that they've seen be blessed, so that you can sprinkle it on the bed, so you can make the sign of the cross, so you can renew your baptismal vows frequently. So also, you want these people to be able to get rid of unwanted guests. Believe it or not, sometimes your relatives, when you're dying in the hospital, they might be a hindrance to your dying a happy and holy death. What do I mean? Maybe they themselves have not dealt with the idea of death. And then there they come in. You're trying to die peaceful. You're trying to have your last few days with the Lord in prayer, preparing your soul. Here they are. Oh, they're bawling. They're crying. They're giving you all sorts of horrible advice. They're saying, why is God allowing this? And they're introducing to you all these temptations. They are being to you temptations that you normally would not have had. They're being instruments of Satan, unwittingly even. So you want to have friends at the hospital that can say, hey, he's very tired. Can you please come back later? Or hey, we're going to pray the rosary. He's very tired. He doesn't want guests right now. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate the flowers. You can stay if you're going to pray the rosary with us. You can stay if you're going to pray the chaplet of divine mercy with us. But if not, you've got to go. If you're an older lady and you don't have family that's faithful, make holy friends at the church, make a pact and say, hey, Susie, if this happens, I promise I'll be there for you. Susie, will you please be there for me? And this is what we'll have, and this is what we'll make sure happens, and then we can take turns. Be ready. You only have one death. You prepare yourself for your retirement by putting away money. You need to put away instructions for what you want to happen if you get sick and you're in the hospital. Now, that is concerning kind of like the proximity, the circumstance surrounding your death when it comes. Then you want to also think about what are you going to do in those very critical moments, those like seconds and minutes before you're dying, because those are very valuable. You want to, again, what you should be doing every day, renounce all of your sin. Say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you can't speak, if all that you can get out are the words, Jesus, Mary, mercy. Jesus, Mary, mercy. Jesus, Mary, mercy. That's all you have to say. The Lord knows what those are. This should bring you great consolation. The name of Jesus is very holy. It's a prayer. Because the devil might be tempting you to say, hey, you're not going to be saved. Jesus, Mary, mercy. Jesus, Mary, mercy. Or the devil might say, hey, you've been so holy your whole life. You've got nothing to worry about. Jesus, Mary, mercy. Because saying these words, saying the name of Jesus, well, is a prayer, and it's a deliverance. He'll get rid of the evil spirit. He won't want to stand around, won't want to hear this. At the same time, you're reminding yourself, no matter how good you are, no matter how many great things you've done, you are in need of the mercy of God. Whatever circumstance you have in your life, every human needs the mercy of God. So Jesus, Mary, mercy. And if you have holy friends that can be with you at the hour of your death, make it clear to them that if they see that you're going downhill, immediately to begin praying the rosary and to pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Saint Faustina was promised that when the chaplet of divine mercy was prayed in the presence of the dying, that special graces will be given and that Jesus, the merciful Savior, will come to the aid of the dying person. I've seen this happen when I was visiting somebody at the hospital. They were dying. I prayed the chaplet of divine mercy. They didn't die at that moment. They actually got better and were able to repent of their sins because they had been in a coma. But it was a miracle of God's mercy. So I really believe this promise that if you pray the chaplet of divine mercy in the presence of the dying, if you yourself are dying, pray the chaplet of divine mercy. But make a plan. If you are healthy right now and you're not in the state of grace, if you don't have good habits, change your life right now. Think of death every single day. This is not morbid. This will make you hug your children extra tight. This will make you make amends with those who you have a fight. You'll fix your problems. And if you are sick or getting sick, or you think you might be sick in the future, you're getting a little old, make plans with your friends, with your family. Say, I want at least one person there with me at night. I want somebody to sleep there. I know that this is a big burden. Take turns, pray the rosary with me, etc. Make all these rules about no TV and no bad visitors, and especially ones who are giving bad advice. God bless you. God love you. And we'll see you next week.